please be seated. And just a prayer. Lord, we ask that what we know not, you would teach us. What we have not, you would give us. What we are not, you would make us. For our joy and the glory of your name. Amen. Well, that famous passage in Matthew 11, where Jesus invites all his hearers to come to him. These words, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus invites us and invited all his hearers in the days he was on earth to walk with him through life. And Matthew 11:28 is an invitation to intimacy and to rest. Two kinds of rest he speaks of: rest in labour and rest from labour. And if we're finding sometimes that the Christian life is quite a burden to carry, we're missing something important, because the image of the yoke is crucial to understanding. This is a beautiful picture of two ox yoked together. In Palestine, yokes were made of wood. The ox was brought in and measured for the yoke, and the yoke was then roughed out and tried on, and adjustments were made so that it fitted perfectly and would not chafe around his neck. You know, there was a legend that Jesus made the best oxen yokes in Israel, and farmers would come from all over the country to get a special yoke that he made. Now, Jesus, being a carpenter and very familiar with agriculture, took this image up of being yoked. And what he's saying is this: the life I give you to live is not a burden to weigh you down. Your task, your life, is made to measure. Not any suits made to measure, but yokes made to measure. And to fit you, and I will give you grace to accomplish it. And I want to illustrate this verse by a gospel encounter. The gospels are full of stories where Jesus met with people and there was a transformation that took place. And as I was thinking about this to illustrate it, the woman at the well, that very familiar story, is a wonderful example of Jesus restoring to that woman her true identity. What she was living was not what she was made for. And Jesus reveals God's true feelings towards us in this story. As we read the Gospels, we find that people Jesus encounters are you and me. What he gives to them, he gives to you and me. So this can be a very personal story for us. And the woman is a paradigm for all of us. Now, in this story, she had messed up her life. She tried to find love and meaning in her sexuality. And she had five husbands, and the person she was now living with was not her husband. Well, what does this story say to us? In the story, she came to the well to draw water at midday, and that was when the sun was at its height and it was hottest. All the women would come to the well early in the morning when it was cool. And she did that because in her village she was a non-person. She was shunned by all. She was covered with guilt and shame. And effectively, she was hiding from people. And life for her was lonely and empty. But the wonderful thing about this story is that God had other ideas for her. His love for her had never run out. And that says to me that when we make mistakes, when we mess up in life through bad choices, we unwittingly project onto God our own attitudes and feelings towards ourselves. Thus, if we feel hatred towards ourselves, or shame, or guilt at the choices we've made, we instinctively feel that God feels the same towards us. This story tells us a different slant. I've lived under that kind of burden for many, many years, thinking that God wasn't pleased with me. And in human form, Jesus revealed what God is like. He showed us that God is relentlessly tender and compassionate towards us, just as we are, with all our frailties, our faults and foibles. Not in spite of our faults, but with them. This woman was hiding from people because she felt that she was unacceptable. She assumed that God saw her in that light. And it's often true that we cannot accept love from others because we do not love ourselves. And Jesus effectively called this woman to come out of hiding and to come into the light, where things would be radically changed. I heard a lovely story the other day of a father talking with his handicapped son, and he said, "Dan, when you look at Jesus looking at you, what do you see in his eyes?" And his young son was quiet for some moments, and then he said to his father, "His eyes are filled with tears, Dad." And his father replied, "Why?" His father replied. And after a long pause, he said, "Because he's sad." "And why is he sad?" And again a long pause. And he stared, Dan stared at the floor. And when he looked up, his eyes were glistening with tears. And he said, "Because I'm afraid. Because I'm afraid." And you know, the sorrow of God sometimes lies in our fear of him, our fear of life, our fear of ourselves. Richard Foster, a wonderful writer who wrote the book Disciplines of Life, said this: "Today, the heart of God is an open wound of love. He aches over our distance and our self-preoccupation. He longs for our presence." And the woman in the story thought God could only love her in her goodness, not in her poverty. A wonderful contemplative, Thomas Merton, said this about God: "His love called us into existence, calls us to come out of hiding, of self-hatred, and to step into his truth. He says to us, 'I want to be a saviour of unbearable forgiveness, boundless compassion, and love that keeps no record of wrongs.'" Do you remember that word in Corinthians that Paul speaks of? Love keeps no record of wrongs. God is love. He doesn't keep records of wrongs. When we come to him for forgiveness, he forgives. He wipes the slate clean. And this woman was to realize that God loves her for who she really is. He calls her to come out of hiding. And she had two options. She could continue once again to live in guilt, fear, self-rejection, and low self-esteem. Or she could run into the arms of a heavenly father who loved her unconditionally. And the woman was reluctant to do that at first. She has quite an argument with Jesus But Jesus helped her to do it by awakening in her heart a deep thirst for living water. She met him at the well, and Jesus was offering living water that came from within her, not from outside. And he helped her to confront her past, which had destroyed her life, and slowly to choose another way, to open her heart to the compassionate love of God. He says to her, "Go call your husband and come back." He didn't think or say, "Get out of my sight." "Go call your husband and come back." And she said, "I have no husband." And Jesus says, "You're right when you say you have no husband. You've had 5 husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband." And he said that not to condemn her, but facing the truth opened up a new route for a new possibility of living for this woman. She said to Jesus, "When the Messiah comes, he will explain everything to us." And that's exactly what Jesus did. That's what the gospel is about. And Jesus declared to her, "I that speak to you am he. I am the Messiah." And she acknowledges her wounds and lets Jesus into them. You know, something radically changed in that woman in that moment. And I've often thought about this. There should be more text about what it was. But it's left to our imagination. She laid down her jar to carry water and went back home to the village where she was shunned. She went back not as the woman she had been, but she went back a different woman. The woman she really was. A woman who messed up in life, but was beloved by God. I think when she went back to the village, she wasn't downcast. In my imagination, she was skipping. Because the burden that she'd carried for so many years was laid aside, and she received the love of God for who she really was, not the person she thought she should be. And she said to the villagers, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did, but loved me back into life." And obviously the transformation in this woman was so transparent that they knew something wonderful had happened. And you know, her testimony struck a chord with all those villagers who longed for that kind of freedom. This is what people in our village of Ducklington, in our town of Whitney, in our nation, really are crying out for. Not just religion, but a living relationship with a God who loves them. And I close with this wonderful translation. Some of you may know the translation by Eugene Peterson called The Message. Well, it's very fresh on this verse. I'll read it to you. "Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Get away with me. Come with me and you will recover your life." That's what happened to this woman. She recovered her life. "I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace." The woman knew nothing about grace until she met Jesus and saw what life could be like. And he went on to say, "I won't lay anything heavy fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." The woman entered into a new experience of life, to live freely and lightly. And you know, I love this story because that is exactly what God wants for me. It's what he wants for every one of you by name. This is the gospel. And in the communion, as we come to receive bread and wine, as we come to receive what Jesus laid down his life for, in order that we might receive his life into our hearts, come and meet Jesus with your wounds. Come as the person you really are. Come with your fears. Come with your emotions. Come with your failures. Come with your wounds. And in the communion, Jesus offers his life in place of us, our self-hatred, and says, "You're beloved. Go forward and live as one who is loved and can live freely and lightly." May God bless you and be with you in this walk you have with Jesus. Just a prayer. Father, we thank you that the meaning of the word gospel is good news. And we thank you for the good news that this woman discovered, that is open for all of us. And thank you that you love us in our poverty and you call us beloved. May we enjoy your presence and your love day by day. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.